Our lesson this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, walking worthy of our calling by relying on the Holy Spirit in marriage. Having written extensively in Ephesians 1:1 to 3:21 about the high calling we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has administered in our behalf, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 20. Now in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, Paul addressed a sixth realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of relating well to the Holy Spirit to live righteously in the human institution of marriage. This subject is very important right now due to extra pressures the pandemic has put on even marital relationships. So we view it for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling presence, power of the Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, for the way the Holy Spirit equips us to function in all sorts of realms, including that of marriage itself. So we ask for understanding of the text and wisdom to rely on the Spirit of God to live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the passage, and then we will look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she respect her husband. When Paul ordered believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit back in Ephesians 5:18, he followed that command with a series of Greek participles directing how that filling was to be displayed in one's conduct. And the last participle of that series in Ephesians 5:21 was that of submitting, hupotassomenoi, submitting to one another in reverence to Christ. Now Paul then applied this practice of submitting to a series of human institutions in Ephesians 5:22 to 6:9. He started with the institution of marriage in Ephesians chapter 5:22 to 33. So we apply his directive for that institution in this lesson as follows. By means of the filling, or the control, that is, by the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies as an act of faith on the Holy Spirit, wives are to relate righteously to their husbands in the Lord. Wives are to submit themselves. The verb submit does not appear in Ephesians 5:22 in the Greek text because it's borrowed from the participle submitting, hupotassomenoi, in verse 21. And wives are thus to submit to their own husbands as their service to the Lord. Now we know it means service to the Lord and not as to the Lord, because Paul clarifies in Colossians 3 verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit, or as it is appropriate in the Lord. So this is not submitting to a husband and treating him as God. No. The submission to the husband is the woman's service to God, not to their husband. There's a higher calling than just ministering to in regards to submitting to the husband. This is God's interests. in the marriage itself. So this is as unto the Lord himself that you're working that submission. It's not treating your husband as God. Now, Paul explained that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body of the church itself. Accordingly, as the church is subject to her head in Christ in all things, even so are wives to be subject to their own husbands in all things. And the verse 24, it's tapata panta tauta, all these things, all things in all areas of life. There's no restriction that is put on what area this should be in. Now, by means of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies on the indwelling Holy Spirit, husbands are to relate righteously to their wives in the Lord. Now, it's true that husbands are not to submit to their wives. However, we still infer from the extended context where Paul is discussing submitting in various human institutions that husbands also are to achieve the dictates of God regarding their roles in marital oversight by means of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit. If as a husband I'm going to relate to my wife properly, and as a man, when I read the expectations that God has of me, I look at them and they're overwhelming. You know, I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I mean, that's an infinite love. That's a tall order. Well, I can't do that, humanly speak. I don't have the capacity, but God does. And God wants to live his life through. He wants the Holy Spirit to take control and do this ministry to my wife. So, husbands are to love their wives in the power of the Holy Spirit, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present it to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such corrupted thing, but that it might be holy, that means separate from sin, the Greek word is hagia, and without blemish, amomos, implies without the record of sin. So men are to love their wives as their own bodies. It's interesting, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, there is a biblical precedent for this statement. Paul isn't overblowing the idea at all. If I go back to the original creation of man and the creation of woman, I find out that in a very real sense, God considers a woman an extension of the man's body. And look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. And Adam, the first man, gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him or a counterpart that was suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, that's God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Notice he didn't make the woman out of the ground as a distinctly separate being. He made the woman out of part of the man himself, part of his own body. Now notice, Adam noticed this. And the rib that which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is Genesis 2:23, this now is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, literally in the Hebrew, Isha, because she was taken out of Ish. There's a play on words here. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Very powerful passage. But God set the record straight. In the very beginning, he wanted human marriage to be something that was very, very close. And he wanted the man to consider the wife, his wife, as an extension of his own body. Now, how does he treat his own body? Well, he treats it well. He's not going to hurt his own body. Same thing with his wife. He needs to treat his wife as an extension of his body. He protects her. He's supposed to nourish her, love her, and accept her completely. Now, building on this theme of a husband's loving his wife as his own body, Paul explained that he who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 28b, that no man has ever yet hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church, which is his spiritual body. Paul then explained that the union between a husband and a wife designed by God at creation essentially makes them one flesh, a stronger union than what exists between even a parent and a child. In fact, studies have been done. Children would rather have their parents hate them than break up their marriage. Children have a very strong sense of stability and health in life if they know that their parents are properly relating to one another. If their parents break up, it destroys that whole world for that child. There are many records that demonstrate that the health of the child, the mental welfare of the child, and so forth goes very, very far downhill if there's a divorce, especially when these children are young. So we've got to be very, very careful. And it's important that husbands love their wives and view their wives as their own body, and that marriages are maintained very strongly. Paul explained that the union between a husband and wife designed by God at creation essentially makes them one flesh, a stronger union than what exists between parent and child. This union also typifies the incredibly intimate spiritual unity between Jesus Christ and his church. It's interesting, in verse 32, Jerome, who was a saint in the Catholic Church, when he was translating this in his Vulgate, he translated the word mystery as sacrament. He said this is a great sacrament. And so the Catholic Church felt that since they had treated his work as canonical or as very important, that they needed to establish a new sacrament. So one of the sacraments in the church now is marriage. It's an optional sacrament, but it's nevertheless a sacrament. But that's a mistranslation. It should be mystery. This is something that was hidden beforehand but is now revealed. That's what a mystery is in the New Testament. But he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. The very, very close union and unity spiritually in the spiritual realm between Jesus Christ and his people, the church, is something that is a picture of the close relationship between a husband and wife. It's something that we need to respect. So in summary, Paul called every man to love his wife as himself and the wife to respect her husband. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, he's speaking to men, so love his wife even as himself. And then he backs up and he includes a description to the wife. And the wife see that she respect her husband, or reverence her husband. So by relying on the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we believers who are wives must submit to our own husbands in everything as their responsibility to the Lord. And believers who are husbands must love their wives as their own bodies, nurturing and cherishing them as the Lord does his bride, the church. And remember, this is all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the big needs in marriage today is reliance on the Holy Spirit. If we're not relying on the Holy Spirit, and if we're living by means of our sin natures, guess what? Sin natures have a tendency to go their own way. People get selfish. And I remember reading an article years ago in the Republican American, one of our local papers here, that the lawyer who was a divorce lawyer said, in almost every situation, selfishness is at the center of it. The husband and the wife don't want to give ground to one another. They're too self-centered. In marriage, you can't do that. Marriage is a giving proposition all the way around. So in application, may all of us believers rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit to function well in marriage. And specifically, may we wives submit to our husbands as our service to the Lord. Remember, we're not treating our husbands as God, but we're submitting to our husbands because that's our calling from God himself. God's watching over our shoulders. He's the supreme ruler here, and he's called us as wives to submit to our husbands. And God is also watching over the shoulders of the husbands, and he's watching that we husbands love and nurture our wives. Very, very important. Years ago, I read an article by I think it was the Moody Monthly magazine. There were several couples who had lived together and been married for over 50 years. And one couple in particular I thoroughly enjoyed reading about. They said, when we met, we were opposites. she was very sociable. The man wasn't sociable. She was outgoing. She wanted to mix up with people. He'd just as soon stay home, take his shoes off, and read the newspaper. They were very, very different. And to a degree, they had difficulty getting along. But then the man summed after 50 years of marriage. He said, I believe that what we need to do is walk with God. Because the closer we walk with the Lord, the easier it was for us to get along with one another, even though we were so different. And I can't emphasize that truth enough. We need the Holy Spirit. I've been in situations where, in fact, one situation, a husband and wife had called me. They were professing Christians. And I met them in their living room, and they said, Pastor, we're getting ready to call the divorce lawyer tomorrow. And we need to see if one last-ditch effort, if we can use you and you can give us any advice so that we can keep this marriage going together. And I looked at them, and after I had known something of their history before, and I shared with them, I said, look, right now, the best effort that you yourselves can do, I don't see any hope for you at all. Then they got scared. And I said, well, Pastor, is there any hope? I said, there's hope, but your best efforts are not going to produce it. The backgrounds are different. They had big issues between one another. But I said, the solution, there is a solution. I said, what is it? I said, I want you to sit down on the couch, and I want you to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 23. It talks about filling of the Spirit, living by means of the Spirit versus a sin nature. And read through that passage and make adjustments as need be. And then if you can't make those adjustments, then call me. Well, the couple never did call me back again, and they stayed married for the rest of their married lives. Because they would read that passage, and sooner or later they would come across the sin that was exposed in either the husband or the wife or both of them, that was an evidence of the fruit of the sin nature, the product of the sin nature. And they realized they were in an act of sin, so they had to confess it to the Lord. They confessed it to one another, got back in right relationship with the Lord, and they got along fine. The Holy Spirit, they needed the Holy Spirit to keep that marriage together. And it became a tremendous testimony of the power of God. So that's what we need to do. We need the Holy Spirit to make our marriages work. And may God help us to rely on Him.